The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission, your mind. You know, there's no chewing on this show, Michael.
I'm spitting it out as we speak.
We used to have, you know, in class, you know, you don't want to be chewing gum. It's funny. This is called Mission Minded, by the way. Keep your mission on your mind, your mission. He's the Heart of Alabama Food Bank CEO, Michael Coleman. We do a show every week. We do this little business thing, and then we're going to do the BBB, Bite by Bite, which is specific towards HAFB. Hashtag, I got that right this time, by the way. Now, there's a woman, I got a friend of mine. She will not speak to anybody who chews gum. Like it's over the top. Like I understand that it is kind of rude. Yeah. To chew gum if you're talking to somebody. I'm not a gum chewer myself because I tend to smack my gums a little bit, but I do like to have fresh breath. Is there anything in particular, since we're going to be talking about leadership traits, is there anything in particular when you meet somebody, first impression thing, that is a major turnoff for you?
Ooh, it could be any feature or anything they do.
Yeah, I mean, you just walked in, you just met this person, and it's just like one of those things where it's just, no, you're like right off the bat. And it may not be something that they even realize they're doing.
Oh, wow. Well,
do you ever talk to somebody that doesn't make eye contact?
Oh, yeah.
Like they're looking over your shoulder, like they look, and I've got several friends of mine, I love them to death, and it's just the way they talk. They don't make eye contact. They're all constantly looking over your shoulder when they speak to you.
Well, a lot of it is the stuff we grew up with. Like once my dad explained to me about a handshake, a man's handshake, and then somebody, I've had conversations with people and then going to end the conversation, reach out, shake their hand. And it's just like a dead fish.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, it has grown as I've gotten older. I'm like, I just can't hardly do business with people who just can't give me a firm handshake.
Yeah.
But it reminded me, because I'm such a Seinfeld fan, you know, every week it was something about some annoying feature. So you have high talkers, low talkers, close talkers. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just, there's a whole ton of stuff. But so I take some medicine and sometimes it gives me a real dry mouth. And look, I don't want to punch anybody upside the head or right in the face with some dragon breath. So I do chew gum and I try not to be too casual with it, but it's hard to. And so I got used to chewing all the time. I find people get on me all the time. I've even done appearances on TV in local commercials and things like that. Just chewing gum, not paying any attention. It's like I'm chilled out. But I have it in my mouth all the time, so I don't even think about it anymore. But
there you go. I'm not a big gum chewer. I probably should be, but yeah, there's nothing worse than, because you do remember people that have bad breath for some reason. That's something.
Oh, no doubt.
And that's probably why you don't really want to do business meetings after lunch, maybe do them before, and make sure you have a little something on your stomach before, because if you have breakfast with somebody, sometimes when you first get out of that, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Mission minded, confident leadership traits. I can't imagine why you're wanting to get into this today. Since our 47th president took over office last week, we're certainly going to talk about that. But when you're talking about confident leadership traits, what's the difference between confidence and bullying? Because a lot of people say that this is not Donald Trump, and we're just going to pull the cloth back here and just say what it is. He's not. I mean, he's confident for sure. But a lot of people say he's just a bully. I mean, he basically is a bully. So what would you say is the difference? Because you want a little bit of dash of, I think, both, really, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, I can understand in his case particularly. If you like Donald Trump, he comes across as confident. If you don't like him, he comes across as a bully.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of my own self, is one of the ways I struggle is, and Donald Trump actually is like this, that you would think that he doesn't surround himself. But the truth is, people say if you call Donald Trump and get him on his phone, he doesn't care who you are. He just wants good ideas. and he'll listen to anybody. And I was really surprised about that characteristic. I was not really aware of that. But they said, yeah, the problem is so many people have his phone and they'll call him and he'll talk to anybody like about different things. So he wants to hear good ideas. And I think that's a good trait. But once he kind of makes his mind up that this is the path I want to go on, then he can kind of be a bull in a china shop. And again, maybe sometimes that's what you need. I find myself, there are times where I want to get as many voices as possible, but at some point you're not going to have everybody in agreement. You're going to have differing opinions. So then you have to, based on your experience and based on the principles and values, you have to make a decision and then push forward. And sometimes you don't pick anybody's idea, but it's kind of an amalgam of everybody's input. And this is the way we're going to go forward. And confident leadership is really kind of important because it's, hey, I think this is right. I'm going to support it. And then it's been my experience that there's not a ton of great leaders out there. It's been my experience that most people, they have some leadership ability, but they really don't like making the tough call because they really don't. We've talked about this in past shows. Like, you don't really want to make that tough call because you want to be led, or you're willing to be led, as long as it's logical, as long as those things are communicated, because if it goes bad, it's really not truly on you. So people want to be a part of things that are successful, but there's not a lot of people that want to make the tough decision, move forward, plow new ground, for reasons of being called names or being casted as, like you said, like this mean person or this doesn't listen to others or whatever. But I think what you saw this week, like him or hate him, and I've listened to some of his greatest detractors, there's one thing I'll speak specifically about Van Jones. He's on CNN, African-American gentleman, CNN, really smart guy. He's worked in politics. He said on his own podcast or his own thing was, look, we got to stop thinking. He was talking about Democrats. We got to stop thinking that Donald Trump is dumb. Yeah. You know, the bottom line is he got reelected. He won the popular vote first time in 20 years for Republicans. And he's got a wave going, a momentum going right now. And, you know, he's been listening over the years, and now he's got a plan. Now, again, you can get into whether you like the plan, whether you think it's a good plan, bad plan. But one thing is not lacking is confidence to move forward in a strong way. And a lot of people, what I'm seeing is even those who were turned off by his brashness, well, they weren't so much like, and I'll even use myself. There were times where I felt like Donald Trump was picking fights and staying focused on things that didn't have any, you know, you it looks like you're fighting because you just want to fight and argue and bicker and all that. This time it seems a little bit different. Like, you don't hear him up there just tooting his own horn nonstop. He's like, this is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. I told the American people I was elected and I'm moving forward to do it. And then he's bringing in the leadership under him who can take the principles or the guidance from the leader and then go and employ them and push through the barriers that, you know, you normally find in government.
You may not like his policies. You may not like the way he does things, but I think we can all agree right now that he's getting things done. I'm not sure what those things are, and a lot of people don't like those things. But right now, he seems like he's the hardest working guy I've ever seen in my life. You know,
and at 78 years old, but it's like it was stated again. I like listening to opposing views because, you know, and then sometimes what you hear is like a Rachel Maddow. She's not going to ever give Trump an ounce of credit for anything. I think it kind of minimizes her influence. I think if I was opposed to somebody, I think I'd want to, you know, I could acknowledge, like, the Democrats have painted that Trump is going to come in and just rip out people going to work because they're not citizens. And you haven't seen any of that. What they're going in and getting some of the most dangerous criminals, people who have already been locked up, people who have committed multiple felonies, continue to be released out into the country and in their community by these sanctuary cities. And all he's done is said, we're going to get these criminals and we're going to put them on a plane and we're taking them outside of the country.
Yep.
And I've seen black, white men, women. It doesn't matter your background. They're like, yeah, I'm glad these dangerous criminals are gone. And right now, it may turn into something else later. But right now, that's the focus. And so you see people from all walks of life, at least right now, giving him this benefit of the doubt. But nobody can say that, wait a minute, you said this on the campaign, and this is what you're focused on. Everything he's doing from day one are all things he stated up front. And there's some people who are like, hey, here's a politician, and he is a politician. He's not a career politician, but here's a politician who is actually doing what he said he was going to do, and he's doing it quickly, and he's not getting caught bogged down in government red tape and all those things that we hate about government. And so you are seeing immediate results. Now, is some of this going to get bogged down? Of course, inevitably, mm-hmm. because you look at, constitutional scholars that are looking at his birthright. Now, there's some that have come out and said, this was written after the Civil War for specific things. And the truth is it needs to be re-looked at, because just because you can get across the border and have a child, that was not really what was going on at the time. So can this pass a court challenge? And some constitutional scholars have come out and said, no, it's cut and dry. Anybody in this country that has a child, they're a citizen. You can't take that away. But what Trump did by signing that executive order was go ahead and get the lawsuits going. Mm-hmm. So that process is in the background. The Justice Department is going to be working on that. It's ultimately going to end up in the Supreme Court, settled by the Supreme Court. So he's already got that going. And he's just not talking about that. And then he's gone on with each department. He's driving these things. And again, he's simply doing what he says. And I think, at least so far, the preponderance of the public is supporting what he's doing.
And it appears he's doing even more because of the lame duck status we had with our former president, too. Because quite frankly, listen, Joe was nowhere to find. I mean, once he hung it up a month and a half ago, I mean, outside doing the pardons thing stuff, you just never heard from the guy. And now all of a sudden you got this guy that's really getting after it. And it seems like he's getting more done in the first week than most presidents get done. That's the other thing I think as an American, period, whether you like Trump or not, we want to see things get done. The last thing I need is another 4 years of impeachments, of trials, of special groups, putting together special, groups of individuals, Senate hearings and all these things talking about, stuff that's not making our country any better. And so, as far as spending another $10 million on Hunter Biden, I'm just so tired of the bickering and the back and forth, knowing that it's all politicized, and no matter how many times you investigate it, it's going to be seen the way you want to see it. And so it doesn't really matter anymore. You know what I'm saying?
You're 100% right.
It's just a waste of time. If we put forward some good things in this world, like how to stop hunger in this country, and put all those resources behind the millions of dollars we're trying to trying to find blah 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 blah. Someone has an email of this and this, that, and the other, and someone's got a box of crap in his garage and he's not supposed to have. I mean, I'm just tired. I want to see things get done.
Yeah, and so I think the American public. Felt that. I mean, I think, again, this is in part why Trump got elected. But I'll tell you a couple of specific things that I think if you want to look at. One thing about strong leadership is just the decision-making. And so here's when I look at, he was going out to look at the LA wildfires. Mm-hmm. But let's compare and contrast the differences in some leadership. So for years, California is being told you're going to have a major fire and it's going to get out of control because you're not taking care of your forest. Mm-hmm. They diverted the water coming out of the north over a little slug of a fish. And so they, instead of it coming downstream and down to service South Carolina, Southern California, they diverted it from the north right into the ocean. And, you know, again, justifying it through trying to save this little fish. Looks like a little shad. So Trump's going to go out there, but on his way, and he was advised against it, but on his way, he stops in North Carolina, and he reminds all those people that they matter, because that's kind of how we do with tragedy. Mm-hmm. You know, a tragedy happens, and then we focus on that in the news for about a week, and then it starts to kind of wane down. It's the heavy lifting of rebuilding. And then something else happens, and all our attention goes over and focused on that. And that's what happened with all the flooding in North Carolina and all the weather that happened there. Well, he said, on the way out there, I'm going to go and stop and look at what FEMA's doing. He's evaluating. He's talking to real people and just reminding them, hey, well, I haven't forgotten you. We're going to come back. We're going to, because you remember all the controversy about FEMA running out of money and all that kind of stuff. Well, then he flies out there, and you compare and contrast him with both the governor and the mayor. When the election, the first month of January, I should say after the election, December and January, Governor Gavin Newsom and the entire legislature met trying to Trump-proof, as it was called, the state regulatory processes and all that, and coming up with all the lawsuits, all the different ways, before anything was ever done or enacted, all the ways they're going to sue them and all that. And he was the one, Gavin Newsom was touting this diversion of water and how we're so eco-friendly and all that, and how, you know, we want these plants to grow wildly in the forest and the wilderness conservation and all that. But what happens? Exactly what's been forecasted for years. And 2 days prior, even though the mayor of Los Angeles knew these fires were coming, she goes to Ghana on a trip, as if something so critical in Ghana. So she leaves. It's like the old Nero, you know, Rome's burning. He's playing the fiddle.
Yeah.
And then they both come back and they're like, well, you know, and Trump's saying, look, I'm not going to sign off on you just sending out billions of dollars for these millionaires and billionaires to rebuild a lot of these houses. I know that wasn't all the population that got hurt. But hey, I'm going to bring some accountability to this thing. And you can't say, well, we're going to divert water. We're going to not cut the underbrush because of this wildflower, or that wildflower. And then when it all blows up in your face, like it was prophesied, you can't say, well, then come bail us out with tax dollars from every other state. So he is decisive. He comes in and he says, this is the way it's got to be. And you just have confidence when he's there looking at it, because he's looking at it not from a governmental perspective, but from an operational and what's effective. And people in California have been ridiculed about, because it doesn't even matter if it's effective or not. What matters is that you care.
Yeah.
So don't evaluate how well this money was spent or what problems were solved. Just evaluate, did you care? Did you have the right motives? Well, that's why Elon Musk is over Doge now, because he's talking about just this government, this apathy and this lethargy found in government is just, it keeps things not running. 6% of the federal government is showing up to work. There's no telling how many people are lost who've been running paychecks. And guess what? And probably most of us who don't depend on the federal government from day to day don't even notice a difference, which just proves that so much of that workforce could be cut and could be reduced. And that's all the things they're doing in the average life of us. So I know I've kind of been all over the books, but all over the place. But you just see a direct approach, confident decision making. He believes in himself. He believes in his business prowess. But he has communicated up front, hey, if you elect me, here's what I'm going to do. Now, while he's doing it, he's going to communicate, and then he's going to come back with the results, and more so if the results are positive. And then he's going to tout those, but he's communicating directly to the American public. And I think there's a hunger out there for that.
Yeah,
and
he's only got 4 years to get it done. Michael Coleman, he's a CEO of Heart of Alabama Food Bank, that is hashtag HAFB. I think a lot of people thought that when he got into office as the 45th president, it would be different because he was going to run it like a business. He wasn't going to run it like an office. And I think that's great. I think it's good anytime. We see that in non-for-profits all the time. When someone with a business acumen comes in and says, listen, I'm going to run this like I run my other companies. Now, it's not always right. Sometimes it can be considered uncompassionate, can be considered insensitive because there's a lot of heads that got a role. I certainly get that. Doesn't mean you can't add some stuff on back. And before, let me ask you this. I think it's interesting. I'm trying to think about some of the people in my life who I thought were great leaders. Is leadership something that can be learned or taught, or is it more genetics? It seems like, I know Donald Trump's dad was a Fred. I know he was a leader, but it just seems like to me that the most people in my life that are strong leaders, I didn't know them as anything but a strong leader. They were always that way.
Well, I will tell you, I'm a firm believer that it's a good combination. And let me tell you what I mean. So if you have somebody like a Donald Trump, okay, his environment, so his father, grandfather, whatever, he was brought up witnessing a lot of things, exposed to a lot of things, being taught lessons along the way. Again, not always good lessons, but seeing business, being introduced to all that world, he learned a lot of those. But you can't just, it's rare to find somebody early in life. What you tend to see is, and you see this in the Army with young officers, is you see, there's lots of potential that he has the characteristics of good leadership, mm-hmm. but he's got a lot of lessons to learn. So, and that's not, hey, let me go read a self-help book on leadership. It is like the greatest lessons learned is you're doing it. You're trying, you're stepping forward. You're making the best decision. You have to make decisions. You make decisions. Well, guess what? Some of those are going to go bad. And you hope the decisions you make as a leader doesn't maim, injure, or permanently harm somebody. But in the military, we make decisions all the time. And, and you would hope that there wasn't a loss of life based on a bad decision. Not only would it ruin your career, but, nobody wants that on their conscience. But I think you have to, the best leaders that I've seen are people who are at best at adapting and learning the lessons as they experience them, not letting that lesson learned, even though it was a bad result, destroy them. Mm-hmm. But it builds persistence, that testing under fire builds persistence, it builds determination, it builds an education of, hey, I don't need a self-help book on leadership. I'm learning by practical experience, by failure, and by my successes along the way. I'm learning what I need to adapt, what I need to change. I've seen people with very strong leadership skills, like a Trump, go into the military, but have no humility. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have any humility, you're not willing to learn. So you just go through, you just think, I'm right no matter what. And they never adapt. And then eventually their military career peters out because you can't get up into the higher ranks typically unless you are somebody who can adapt to situations and things like that. So it's a much longer discussion than we have time for today. But I think it's a good, healthy, I've never seen anybody incredibly meek and mild, timid, who then all of a sudden went and read Leadership Principles and learned how to be a good leader.
Yeah,
I've seen people who were not brought up in environments to be a strong leader, and they still turned out to be the best version of themselves that they could. But a true dynamic leader is somebody who has seen it, who has lived it, and who is constantly seeking to grow in that leadership, that understanding, and that. And just in practical terms.
And I think the other thing to remember too is what are we running here? I mean, what are you trying to be a leader of? Are you the leader of a ship? Are you a leader of the United States? Are you a leader of a non-for-profit? Are you a leader of a church? Are you a leader? I mean, And it really depends on a lot of, you know, a lot of people like, I'll bet you he's a lousy father, or I don't like the way he looks at his kids. Well, he's not there to look at his kids. He's there to run the country or whatever that particular situation is. You know what I mean? Some people would like to have it all. Well, we all like to have it all.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised by VP Vance and the fact that he was dealing with his kids all day, being the father of three. I'm just like, I thought it was super cool they were there, but I know how it is to have a child that age at something that is super boring for a long period of time. And I could not believe it. First of all, I was waiting for a nanny or someone to come by and pick them up. So at least he could, I think even Trump got off on a little bit too. You know, he was sitting there, you know, bickering with a little kid and having a good time with it. So it was interesting.
Think about J.D. Vance, already a very smart guy, mm-hmm. already has shown incredible leadership to come out of the Appalachian area, all the barriers of poverty, mother in addiction, raised by his grandmother. If you ever had the chance to read his book, Hillbilly Elegy, it's fantastic. It has some great stories in it, but also it was a movie made on Netflix. It was a great movie. Mm-hmm. So I was a fan of J.D. Vance just as a person without knowing his personal politics or anything, or not considering his personal politics. And then he marries this woman who is of Indian ethnicity. First time I've seen her recently, last few weeks, go through some interviews. Very impressive by her own right.
Mm-hmm.
Also an attorney, very smart, but had three kids and they're gonna be up under the spotlight the next 4 years. But let me tell you something: being up under Trump, with all his good and with all his bad, and there's plenty of negative things people to focus on. It is going to be a goldmine of opportunities for him to learn what's effective leadership and how to actually transform the government to make it more efficient.
This is the first time I can remember in my lifetime where I could see the VP certainly being the next president. I couldn't see that with Pence. I couldn't see that with anyone. And it seems like the VP has always been at that second piece. They get out there and do a couple of things, you know, whether it's the first lady or the VP, and you never hear from them again. You know, I have a feeling we're going to hear a lot from Vance over the next 4 years, whether we want to or not. Mission Minded, keep your mind, your mission in your mind. Hashtag HAFB, part of Alabama Food Bank. Michael, thank you so much. We got BBB coming up next. What are we doing on Bite by Bite?
We're talking about, and if you hadn't asked me, I'd have known that. Oh, we're talking about the importance of hiring good employees. I'm just going to talk a little bit about my employees and just philosophically why that's so important. And
it's coming up next.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.